4 roky vedla klinickou studii, podle které jedna tableta léku Truvada denně dokáže snížit riziko nákazy virem HIV o 86%. V dubnu schválilo tento lék pro preventivní užití veřejné zdravotnictví ve Skotsku. Odbornice na prevenci a léčbu HIV, britská lékařka Sheena McCormack. Welcome on DVTV.
Thank you.
So how did researchers actually get the idea that Truvada, a drug that we've known as a drug to treat HIV positive people, let's just say to treat them, may now work to prevent new HIV infections?
So I guess that story goes back a long way, because in the 80s, people who worked in hospital could be prick themselves with a needle with infected blood. And we started to give the drugs we use to treat HIV to try and stop them going on to get a full-blown infection. And then there was an experiment in the 90s that gave people the idea that it might work better before, and that then led on to the clinical studies giving the drug beforehand.
So when was it proven?
It was, well, so we proof usually requires two studies. So the first study was 2010, and then the second studies came through in 2011, and then there have been a series of those since.
Truvada is a combination of two substances, one of which was first synthesized in 1984 by the late Czech scientist Antonín Holý.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, then we're happy that this interview is good for you too. How does it actually stop HIV from infecting a healthy person?
So the drug gets inside the cell, and then when HIV arrives, it's ready, and it stops it multiplying. And then the body itself is able to get rid of the infected cells, and so the infection never becomes established.
Is there an optimal way of using the drug to maximize its impact?
Well, taking it before it is a really important thing to do, and taking it long enough before, so it's at the levels where it's working adequately, it's working well.
What is long enough before?
Well, now that's tricky, because it's different for the type of sex you're having. So women need to take it longer, they need to take it the 7 days before, we're saying, but for gay men, they can actually take it within 2 or 24 hours before, so as a double dose. So it's a little bit quicker to get to high levels in the tissue in the bottom.
What about the side effects?
Well, the side effects are, it's very, very well tolerated. We've been using this drug for treatment for a long time, and I would say that less than 10% of people suffer side effects and need to change their drug. And the serious side effects are really very, very rare. But the typical things that you get with any drug are a bit of sickness, a bit of diarrhea, tummy upset. It takes your gut a while to get used to the tablet. And then headaches is something also that some people suffer with.
Equally, men and women in that case?
That's a good question. I don't see why not. I don't see why it wouldn't be the same. I think the double dose might upset the tummy a bit more. So I think that probably looked to be the case in the French study.
Well, surprisingly enough, there is no consensus about the use of HIV medications used preventively. One of the main arguments against HIV prevention in a pill is that users will become even more complacent. What has your data shown?
So it's definitely consensus it works. It works brilliantly. And we at the moment are not controlling the HIV epidemic. So 2016, we had 1.8 million new infections. I think it's 1.8 million, and 1 million deaths. So every year there are more infections worldwide. And that's been true in Europe for quite a while too. We've seen an increasing rate of HIV infection, or increasing rates of new HIV infections. And right now in Eastern Europe, particularly in Russia and Ukraine, we are seeing a really serious epidemic where there's major concern. We've got over a million cases in Russia now of HIV. So the existing tools that we have, condoms, behavioural interventions, staying faithful, those sorts of things, male circumcision, which hasn't really been rolled out in Europe, haven't controlled the HIV epidemic. And that's because a very small group of the population will have more than two partners with whom they don't use a condom in between their HIV tests.
Now, wouldn't
only PrEP will work in that circumstance?
So you say there's a consensus about the, let's say, preventive effect of Truvada, but what not everyone agrees about is who should pay for it. So, for instance,
that's a different controversy. Who should pay?
British publicly financed healthcare doesn't seem to agree on whether to cover the drug for preventive use or not. National Health Service in Scotland gave it a green light, while its English counterpart, NHS England, wants to conduct another clinical trial. What's your reaction to that decision?
I guess I do understand that. So in the English system, which is a public health service where we pay for prevention, the taxpayers' money pays for prevention as well as treatment, you have got to think carefully about how you spend your money. And we have a very clear process for evaluating the evidence. So absolutely no question, the clinical and cost effectiveness of this drug for prevention was established in that process, that's for sure. But the problem was that there's another important thing that matters in a public health service, and that is how much is it going to cost me next year? How much is it going to cost me in the next 5 years? And at the time that they were making the decision in England, the Truvada was still only available as a patented drug at a cost of about €300 or €400. Did I say here? Well, I don't know what that would be.
It was £450, right? Which is about 13,000 crowns, Czech crowns.
It's hugely expensive for a month of drug. Even so, it still was cost effectiveness. But the point was, they did not know, and they still don't know, how many people who need PrEP will actually take it and how long they'll take it for. And the best guess that our public health department could give was that it was somewhere between 10,000 and 50,000. So you can imagine at that cost per month, that's a massive difference in how much money has to be put aside. So the reason we're doing a study with 10,000 people is to get a better estimate of what that total number is.
And so when people started taking Truvada, did they stop using condoms? What has the study shown?
So the study that I did, the study called the PROUD study, that we did in 13 sexual health clinics in England, deliberately set out to try and answer that question. And to answer that question, you've got to have a group of people who are randomly allocated to get PrEP and a group that are not. And the way that we did that was to say, okay, there's a 50-50 chance you get the drug in year one, or you get it after a year for the second year. So we had this group, we were able to compare these two groups, and we did find a very slight difference in condom use. Those who were on PrEP had a higher proportion of people who didn't use a condom with a large number of partners in between their HIV tests. So that is true, but it did not actually make any difference to the other sexually transmitted infections that they caught. They were the same in both groups. And importantly, HIV was not the same. So the rate of HIV in the PrEP users was just over 1% per year. In the non-PrEP users, it was over 9% per year. So it's a massive difference between the two. And HIV is the infection you take drug for the rest of your life for. That's very costly for any government or health insurance.
So I was precisely asking this because using a condom is obviously cheaper than taking the pill. So my next question would have been whether it is really public health service that should pay just for someone's convenience, because it is more convenient to take a pill than to use a condom.
Who, I suppose? Someone has to buy the condom, they have to use it. And the fact of the matter is that's not happening consistently for everybody at the public health level. So as long as you're having this higher rate of new HIV infections, you're continuing to drain government or public health or insurance resources to pay for people who've got HIV for the rest of their lives. Those drugs are really expensive. So we estimate the lifetime cost of caring for somebody with HIV is over £350,000. I don't know what that would be in krona, would be huge. So that's really, really expensive, not to mention the sort of quality of life issues that go along with having HIV. Well, we've got great treatment, but it does come with psychological stress, mental health problems, a range of other comorbidities, as we call them, and we want to stop those as well.
So who doesn't use condoms? As you said, not everyone does. So who doesn't?
Well,
typically, I mean, so if we're speaking statistically here.
If you look in our national surveys, we've done a national survey kind of every 10 years across the board. And if you look in that, it's the younger people. So these heterosexuals kind of under 25. In terms of the absolute number of sex acts without a condom, it's much higher in that group than it is amongst gay men. But it's subpopulations within each age group, within each gender, who you'll find are going through a period in life when they're not using condoms consistently. And I think it's to say who is it, it's actually the same person, but at a different time in their life.
You've been involved with HIV treatment and research since the 80s, when the disease was actually taking a deadly toll. So are people less scared of it today?
That's very, very well. I'm still actually quite surprised by how scared of it people are. So I think amongst gay men, it's been a major issue. And the number of participants in Proud who were taking PrEP who said, I can't believe how this fear has been taken away. And as a sort of medical practitioner, having seen the success in treatment, I guess for me, I have not thought of it as something fearful for quite a long time now, at least a decade. So I was surprised that that was still a very common issue amongst gay men. Now, gay men...
Which is good news for you, isn't it?
It's good news.
Is it not that
afraid?
That they are afraid?
No, I don't think fear is ever helpful. Really, it's honestly not. It makes people make the wrong decisions, often in the spur of the moment. Fear can somehow be...
So it doesn't make them more careful?
A good thing. No. I don't think so, no.
What lies ahead now? What's the next frontier in HIV research?
The next frontier in HIV research. So that's across the spectrum. I think people with HIV are still pretty excited about the possibility of cure. And that seems to me like a major, major leap. But we are moving into a new era of drugs with the immunotherapies that are coming on board now, not just HIV, but with cancer. And I think we might see some progress in that direction with cure. But just the fact that there's this massive interest in it amongst the patient community or people living with HIV makes me realise that it's much more of a burden to take a tablet every day than you perhaps think of when you're prescribing that tablet. And as I say, compared to when we first had these drugs that worked and people were taking like maybe 20 pills a day and they had a lot of side effects from them, we're in such a different position today. We often trivialise the fact that people have to take treatment, but it does carry a psychological burden with it, without a doubt.
Sheena McCormack, thank you very much for your insight.
Okay, my pleasure.